Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for every bit of good that we have in our life. We see those who do not have the blessings that we have, and so we thank you all the more for our blessings. And we pray for those who have needs, including the ones who we have a close relation with, and those who have a relationship with you, Lord, as Savior. So please guide and protect us in the coming days. In Jesus' name. Within my little group, or group of people that I have that are Christian people, lately there has been a good deal more concern for prayer. As we think about the lives of people around us on every level, we think about being prayerful in a personal way or a family way or locally or nationally, even internationally. We are recognizing that there is a real need for prayer as the world is looking a different direction. They're looking for their own personal gratification instead of toward God. And of course, there are still plenty of people who are concerned for others out of either regular humanity or out of the Christian morality. Lots of compassion still exists all over the place. But we are recognizing that prayer is important, and it is wise to have appropriate action as we pray or as we live life. There are biblical examples of how to act, and that includes the Good Samaritan in Luke 10:30. And it shows that we are to have compassion and mercy. And during the ministry of Christ on earth, there were many examples of his love and compassion for people. There are many good examples of this that we can read about in the Bible towards others. I think it is real good that we have resources besides prayer, things that we can actually do to help the people who we pray for. I know that in this world we have so many things that we can do. But we have to be wise in what we do. I'm thinking of how in a city south of here, they were planning to build tiny houses for homeless people that would cost $50 million. And by the time the project is done, each tiny house was going to cost as much as a regular house would cost. That was reported in the Sacramento Bee. So I cannot see how it was a wise thing for a government agency to do this, to spend so much taxpayer money. I think about charity and how charity used to be a function of the churches. And because the churches had limited funds, they would spend their resources very wisely and carefully. But today the government spends whatever it decides is necessary, and then it raises taxes to pay for the projects that it has deemed necessary. Our government is very powerful, and it spends whatever it wants. It used to be that people had a voice in government, and they would limit government on how much they would spend. But these days, not so much. All levels of government are spending our dollars at a very high rate. And our country is on the way to financial ruin, where the dollar will just collapse and everyone will go broke. This is the historic pattern. It has been repeated so very many times in just about every country on earth. And it is on that same path in the United States of America. And history shows that the best protection we can have is to not have any debt. And there is a question of timing. At what point do we see there will be a collapse? And I tell you, that is something so impossible to even know. All we can see is the path, and it is clear. A few days ago, the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said, well, he said it in so many words, that things are going to be more difficult for people in many ways, and that our economy would never go back to a pre-COVID economy. He said that there would be very much more automation and that our economy has permanently changed. I see this as having happened intentionally. I don't see how the mistakes could have been made that were so big and so frequent. So I have to say, yes, look around at what is going on around us and look at the possibilities and recognize that things could change very quickly. I mean, they have been changing quickly all of my life. I look back and I see, well, let me think. In 1967, there was the Arab-Israeli War. And there was no real warning when that came along, anyway, not from a civilian point of view. It just suddenly happened. And there was the Gulf of Tonkin incident in 1964 that kind of started the Vietnam War. Again, no warning. The fall of Saigon happened very suddenly in 1975, and that more or less ended the Vietnam War. So the things are happening suddenly. Oh, and look at the news today. It is showing desperate people that are so ready to leave Kabul, Afghanistan, that they are clinging to the airplanes that are leaving. And a few are so desperate that they think they can hang on, and they hang on to that airplane until they fall to earth and die. Tragedy. Oh, it's a tragedy when people are so desperate and they have no hope in their life circumstance. So they are willing to take a chance of life and death. And maybe you've heard about the hundreds of missionaries and home churches and just plain Christians in Afghanistan. When the American troops suddenly left Afghanistan, those Christians, in one position or another, they were expecting to lose their life as the faithful followers of Islam hunted them down to kill them. I mean, that is the expectation. So there are many Christians in Afghanistan that want to stay alive. Some of them, they ran to the hills and some of them wanted to stay and preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been different for different people. But this is something that is a reality in our life as we cling to the hope of Jesus, and yet we have a gospel to preach. Sometimes we have a path to martyrdom also. It's just always different. I think of Matthew 10:39, and it says, "He who finds his life shall lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake shall find it." I kind of like the way Jim Elliot said that some years before, and he was martyred, but he said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." So, in a spiritual sense, that is very understandable. We understand it very clearly. But in the physical sense, in this world, it's not quite so easy to fully grasp. Well, we are faithful for those who are ready to put their life at risk, whether they are Christian missionaries or even in our own regular life. Just think of the founding fathers. They were willing to put their life right on the line so that we could have some freedoms, like freedom from taxes and freedom from for the worship of God in a church of our choice. I also think about the people who put their life at risk just in living today, like the soldiers and the police. I'm thankful for all these people. Oh, and then I think back to Afghanistan and or other parts of the world when there are so many people that are just plain afraid. And in Afghanistan, it's no surprise because the people there have seen negotiated deals that, well, instead of the United States fighting to show strength, the United States negotiated with the Taliban, and there were compromises. So, yes, you can see why the ordinary Afghanis are afraid to fight the Taliban, because the Taliban are ready to fight and die if necessary. The Taliban wants to disarm everyone in Afghanistan, except for the fighters of its own cause. They are telling the people in Afghanistan, one, if you fight, we will kill you, and two, to surrender all your weapons, and we will pay you $150 for each one of them. So those people in Afghanistan, of course they want to live, but they don't have a real ability to store food or have arms and ammunition. So they don't have a real easy way to resist tyranny. I guess none of the people do, not even us in this country. We don't have much ability to remain independent if the stores close down. Well, let's see anyway. Afghanistan is certainly looking like a great collapse, and the rebels will take over. I know in Afghanistan, our embassy told people to sit in place. Let's see, sit and wait or shelter in place. So that's pretty hard to do if you are so anxious and full of fear that you panic. And there were a few like that too. So that's just kind of what typically happens, that people help who they can, and then, like the United States did in Afghanistan, they helped who they could, and then they left suddenly. Whew! Yeah. And then you know what happened in Afghanistan. The Taliban wanted to collect all of the guns and ammunition. That's just normal. It's what tyrants do. And any force that wants the people to comply, they take away any resistance that there is. And the simple answer to that one is arms and ammunition. And that way, only the forces that are there have the best weapons and the best way to force anybody to do anything. I think about the Islamic society anyway, and they teach submission. So it's something that anybody who resists in Afghanistan, they have a lot to overcome. They may have their own personal situation, but there's also a tradition of submission. So that's something that just is going on. It's a factor to be aware of. As the Taliban says, you surrender your weapons or we will kill you. Well, does that make a difficult choice or does that make an easy choice? What would we do? Yeah, what would we do in this country? Huh, good question. Hey, speaking of Afghanistan, I read a letter on the Jack Hibbs website, and I wasn't going to read it, but I just decided to quickly go over it because it kind of reflects a view that there is. It was written by 275th Company Army Rangers, and they put this together because they could imagine this would be written by the Taliban. So they have knowledge of in-country, certainly. So all the sentiments that they write about appear to be very accurately written. So here goes. I'm just picking out sentences, but it covers the idea of it. We, the Taliban, saw when you came over the Khyber Pass with your technology and your elite fighters, but you did not have the stomach to keep up the fight. We did. We bled. The Soviets bled. And now you bleed also. Patience is something that Westerners never learn. In 30 days, we will be stronger while you return to your pathetic life dictated by comfort. Your statesmen are spineless narcissists. They are cowardly as they plan their lucrative retirement. Your nation is broke, and your politicians seek to rule over you. We will wait you out. Allah is patient. You will not succeed in our holy land. You have wasted hundreds of millions and billions of your dollars. You have failed. You have shown the world how weak you are. Your population is undisciplined and self-loathing. While our population is born into war, it is our way of life as we live in misery and pain that you are unwilling to bear. We have the blessed opportunity to sacrifice ourselves to sit at the right hand of, well, their little g God, blessed by Allah for eternity. What honors do your fighters receive? A 3-day weekend using the time to get drunk? Your people are drug addicted and obsessed with comfort and entertainment, while we will feed you heroin. You have given us the opportunity to show the world how to defeat the infidels. Signed, the Taliban. Is really about 10 times longer than that. I just cited some of the sentences out of it to give you the idea of what it contained. Again, it is made up, but it does reflect true sentiments of that culture. So you can look it up on Jack Hibbs if you want. Anyway, the government of the United States has made great errors in its hasty retreat. This retreat was not well planned. And there is great difference in what is coming for Americans and what we are leaving behind in Afghanistan. See, some accounts say that there are 15,000, and some say 45,000 American civilians that were left behind in Afghanistan after the military quickly left. Now, I don't know the true numbers, but you can tell that it's a lot. And that's the point that I would make. There were military contractors and their family, and there were some Christian missionaries and their families left behind in Afghanistan. Oh, well, there was a post that talked about 260 and another post that said 230 Christian missionaries and house pastors were in one area of left in Afghanistan that were set to be left. So the reports that I saw were labeled as false by Google and that they were several years old. And maybe that's true. I'm really not sure, and I'm not on the ground to know anything for sure. But whatever the details are, and however true the situation is, I do know that there are Christian missionaries in Afghanistan whose lives are very much in danger. So, pray for them. Pray that Jesus watches over them and that God provides their needs. And like I said, whatever the accuracy of those reports are or are not, we do have Christian brothers and sisters that are seeking to do God's will in the missionary field. So some of those missionaries, from what I can read, are fleeing to the mountains, and some of those missionaries are staying right where they are in the small towns and villages of Afghanistan, ready to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who can listen, even if they give up their life. Well, that reminds me of an experience that I had helping with seminars in Thailand, preparing people in Thailand to know more about Jesus and the Bible. And some of those who attended those seminars were going to be missionaries spreading and preaching the Word of God in nearby lands. Lands and countries where those governments forbid Christian missionaries to go. But still they went. Even if they would lose their life, they knew their life was in danger, but they were ready to go. Well, praise the Lord and thank you. Thank you, missionaries, for putting your life on the line like that. And so that helped me to identify with or think about those Christian missionaries in Afghanistan who are ready to lay down their own life, if need be, to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Lord Jesus, be with them and give them provision in every way. Oh, I hope each one of us are safe in this country, and I hope that we can reach out also with prayers and with dollars to the missionaries around the world or the missionaries that are in America. Certainly, we can do something to help the missionaries advancing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are plenty to be reached in the streets of America or even within our own family. There are lots of people to pray for. Well, let me think about Afghanistan again. What is our government doing? The way that it left Afghanistan was as though it were a hasty retreat, and we left behind so many war materials. And you know that those war materials will be finding their way to our enemies and to China and elsewhere. The war assets left in Afghanistan include many drones, the ones that cost $3.5 million each. And there were our advanced aircraft, attack aircraft, like 20 some of them. And then there were 20 or some Black Hawk helicopters, and thousands of various launchers, and tens of thousands of explosive rounds, and every sort of small arms and ammunition that you could imagine. Hundreds of billions of dollars worth of war materials, all bought and paid for by we, taxpayers of the United States of America. And then we just abandoned them there. What a mistake that was. Or could it have been intentional? Yeah, they're both possible. Well, back in Afghanistan, the Taliban says American citizens will be allowed to leave, but no one else. No Afghanis would be allowed to leave. And so you think, are we really surprised that those Afghanis that clung to the outside of jet planes, ready to fall to earth and die, they were willing to take a chance to have freedom? What a way to live and die. Well, we do understand freedom, and so do some of them. When we want freedom, we will risk death. And that's our history. Look at our founding fathers. They wanted freedom from excessive taxation. That's in the history books. But we know it was also freedom to worship our Christian God of the Bible freely. They wanted that so much that they were willing to risk death. Oh, and we have so many things going on in this country. I think back a couple of months to the Department of Homeland Security, and they were directed to be aware of those who opposed COVID vaccinations because they could be domestic terrorists. How interesting that in this, that if I were to speak against having an experimental COVID vaccination, I could be considered a domestic terrorist. Wow, where has our freedom gone? Oh my, well, I guess that means we had better not question the government, and if we do, we might have our figurative heads chopped off. Yeah, because if anyone does question our government, they will be legally attacked and bankrupted by the attorney fees. I mean, that's just the pattern. The government has unlimited funds, but every individual has limited funds. So we get forced into compliance one way or another. And still, we are thankful for our freedom. We certainly do have freedom, and how good it is that we can worship God freely. Huh, yeah, unless there's a pandemic, and then we have to sing in church. Well, we can't sing in church. We can only whisper the songs. Oh, boy. Well, we'll see what we see about what the whole situation brings about. But we are concerned with what this government has done to shut down our economy. How we are dealing now with a level of, well, it'll get to poverty and it will get to a lack of supplies because our economy has been shut down and it is not going to come back quickly. That we can look at historical examples of that and say that's true. It's good to look at the examples around us, all of them. I think of one recent example was in Israel. On August First, Israel said that they had vaccinated a large enough portion of the population that they could declare Israel had herd immunity. And then 2 weeks later, there were breakout cases of COVID all over Israel by the thousands. And they said it was because of a new variant. Ah, but who knows? I surely don't know. How do you figure out if it's an original COVID or a variant COVID? Well, it sure is a lot of effort that the governments and the elite of this world are making to promote a vaccine against a disease, a virus, that 99.7% of the people recover from. And I'm told that that is about the same recovery rate as from a common flu virus. Well, it's all pretty interesting. It's also interesting to try to track down numbers because there's a little variation in all of them. And so we're kind of left to look at the very basics of how bad is COVID really, or how bad is the vaccine really. And, you know, for us regular people who don't have access to all of the numbers, it is hard to figure out what the real, true numbers are. But I think we can look at the overall view and get a pretty good representation of what the numbers look like. As I know, one of the things about listening to people, whether they're government or doctors or researchers or anybody, it certainly has been an experience for me in life to think that I could believe people who sounded so sincere and believable. But then after a period of time, I found out that what they said was really an out-and-out lie. So, yes, I am concerned, and I don't believe things as much as I did when I was young. So, I know that people can lie, and numbers can lie, and people can use numbers to lie. It's a big subject, but we have to try to hear both sides of the story anyway and figure out what to believe. I know when you listen to people, it's easy to believe them if you only hear one side of the story. I mean, have you ever listened to a used car salesman? Or have you ever listened to a surgeon try to tell you you needed a medical procedure? And then you find out that there is another point of view, and maybe you didn't need what they told you you needed. Well, some days ago, Joe Biden addressed the nation about why the United States was leaving Afghanistan. And I thought he made a very good presentation and had some really good reasoning. But as you listen to another point of view, the other side of the argument, you can find that it's pretty obvious that there were other points of view that really were valid also. So that's what we have to do. We have to listen to both sides of the argument to try to make our own personal decisions. And that includes all of it, from the used car to the operation to the president declaring something, or to whether we get a COVID vaccine or not. Look at both sides of the arguments. Statistics are misleading. People are misleading. But I think one of the things that I look at is the medical professionals and people who work for the COVID manufacturing companies. Well, there, as I analyze it, there is about one-third of the people in those areas who are refusing to get the vaccine. They say they will lose their jobs instead of getting the vaccine. That's how important it is to them. So that's another part of the argument. We see one side and we ought to look at the other side. I do know that there are plenty of doctors who are speaking out, medical professionals who are saying, hey, you better watch out for this vaccine. In fact, don't take it. So I know there's a couple of people that I have listened to that have made a difference to my thinking. One of them was Gert Van den Bosch, and he worked all his life developing vaccines and promoting vaccines around the world. He listed the corporations or the foundations he worked for, including Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He worked for government foundations, and he said, do not take this vaccine. That is Gert Van den Bosch. Oh, and in recent weeks, I have heard other people also saying not to take this COVID vaccine. One man says, we are the rats in this experiment. That's what he said. Let's see, that was Dr. Ryan Cole, MD, who was trained at the Mayo Clinic in pathology and immunology. So this Dr. Cole, he says that this so-called vaccine attacks your brain and inflames your heart, and that the spike protein in it settles in your kidneys, liver, testes, ovaries, and in your brain. And he says, again, I'll say this, we are the rats in this experiment. And do not get the vaccine after you have COVID. He says that there are going to be deaths from this vaccine. So, it certainly is a question about whether we take the vaccine, believe these people, or what the answer really is. But to me, there's enough people that are questioning what this is. They are noticing that that there is an increase in certain areas, like I just said, cancers and where the spike protein settles. And I think there's things that we can just be aware of to examine both sides of the argument. It certainly is not a good thing that these spike proteins settle in our heart and our brain. And that, he says, is why healthy people are falling over dead from heart problems. And he says that is why they suspect people are developing a foggy brain, which doesn't think as good as it used to. So there are many, many professional people who are saying that we ought to not take this vaccine. And I just think it is good to look at both sides of the argument. They say there have been no long-term animal studies and no long-term human studies that all the other vaccines in history have had. Besides, this is not a normal vaccine. And that it contains synthetic spike proteins. Well, I think it's something that is worth looking into, and for the questions that there are, it is certainly worthwhile to question if you ought to take it or not. I think that, like I said, that Gert Van den Bosch he makes a really good point in his discussion of it. And another doctor that makes a good discussion is Jose Luis Salviano. and he is French, and his little video was in subtitles. It was a good video, but it's something that not everybody will listen to because they don't like subtitles. Anyway, there are videos about doctors who, example after example, saying they would not take this vaccine. And you can look them up. There's a few of them out there. And it's interesting to get 20 or 30 doctors and health professionals saying that they wouldn't take it, and this is why. So we all have a choice, don't we? And if you are one who has taken it already, then just stay healthy, and that's the best, I think, that we can do. There is such a great big movement, though, to promote this vaccine. You can look it over all the media, and, well, even in other countries, it's all there. And in Australia, they are having lockdowns. It was until August 28th, where people are not allowed to leave their homes unless there is an essential reason. So, I mean, we are really getting, we as people of the earth, we are getting put through a lot of conditions. I know in the Olympics, too, they hardly ever showed this, but when the Olympic medal winners went onto the stand, they were forced to wear their masks, even though the audience was not there. But they had to be videoed or filmed with their masks on. We can just kind of wonder where this is headed. And I do think about Tennessee. They had an executive order the governor made, Order 93, that in the event of an emergency, camps would be formed for people who refused to take the COVID vaccine. I mean, there is movement here, and we can only guess what the real outcome of it will be. But we know there's a lot of movement to force us or try to get us to take that vaccine. One day we'll know. One day we'll have all the officials who would say, "Show me your papers." Yes. Of course, I think of how that happened in World War II. I think of the Jews that had to wear their Jew star. I forgot what it's called, but a star on them showing that they were a Jew. And they were not allowed to go into certain buildings, certainly no restaurants, and certainly no government buildings. They just were not allowed. And so I think of the similarities. Not that it's the same, but there are similarities to that and the health passport. And I just have to think about it. There are all sorts of people who say all sorts of things, and we get to figure it out and see what the best truth is that we can understand. I also wonder about what's going on in the world, because I think God is speaking. God is kind of telling us little or great big messages when there are events like earthquakes. There were a couple of big ones like 7 point and 8 point between New Zealand and Indonesia. That was just a couple of weeks ago. And then there are now volcanoes going off in Alaska. 3 of them this month in the Aleutian Island chain. So we do have things going on. And is this the hand of God? Or is that just a coincidence of things that are coming upon the earth? We really... Well, depends on your perspective. But there is reasons to prepare besides thinking of the COVID thing and what could happen. There are always natural disasters that can happen, and there are always human situations. And I think of wars, of course, because that's the most forceful one when there are wars or revolution or something like that. Of course, I think about the devaluing of our money and knowing that that could also cause a great big strain and harm upon our population. Oh, and that happens often enough when there is a revolution or a war also, because the government needs money and all they can do is print it, just like they're doing now. They are printing money on a computer screen, and that destabilizes the existing money, and that makes inflation and hyperinflation. So when will that come about? Well, it's at the starting point. It has been for a good while. And we just can only guess, because there is reason to say that because it has been in the works for so long, it will happen quickly. And there is another reasoning that says because they have been so successful at postponing large inflation, they will continue to be successful. And I sure don't know the answer. It could be either way in my thinking. But we have some variable things happening, or that could happen in life. The political climate is uncertain. The economic climate is uncertain. And society is also uncertain. You look at the violence around, and not only could that cause things to change, that could even have a revolution. If you listen to the revolutionaries or the Antifa people, there are people who want to overthrow this government. And that's just what happens. And should we be surprised? Well, I don't think we should be surprised, because we are ignoring God. We have turned away from God. And therefore, we can expect certain consequences because we turned away from God. And you can only guess what they are. Me too. I don't know. But we can tell that there will be consequences, because that's the historical pattern. And countries have collapsed when that happens. And that can happen here too. No matter how strong our country is, God can have things happen where we would collapse and we would lose our freedom. That's just a part of what happens. Yes, and so we will try to figure out how to keep our freedoms and how to preserve Christianity in our country. I think that's so very important to do. So support those missionaries, whether they're in this country or a foreign country. Just see what you can do to support those missionaries who preach the good news of the gospel, yeah, in this country and in the other countries. Of course, that means prayer and donations. So just think about that, please. Well, I think about the troubles that are very likely coming to our country, and I think about how do we get through them. And to me, that means we have basic needs: water, food, and warmth. Beyond that, everybody has their own ideas, and everybody should do something, whatever their extra concerns are, whether it's flashlight batteries or diaper things. You know, it's just everybody has their own choices, and we should pay attention to them and have some form of preparedness. And I've heard somebody just this morning say that we should have 3 to 6 months of food and an ability to purify our water. If you have a year's worth, all the better. But I can't say, I don't know. All I know is having something is better than having nothing. And how do you start out with what you are to have? I think the best way is just to assume you're going to go on a trip. And what would you have with you if you were going to go on a holiday vacation for a couple of weeks? What are the things you would take? And Then you work out what your essentials are and build on that. That's how I think the best approach to this question is. And that's your basics. But for having 3 months of food or more, you're certainly not going to take that on your 10-day vacation. You're going to have the basics of whatever it is you're thinking, though. And I think that is where you start. There is plenty going on in this world, and that makes for uncertainties, and that makes for a reasonable, to be reasonable for us to look at what we just might do in the way of preparedness. And then let me just emphasize how important it is to have a community. And that community can be your family, it can be your neighbors, it can be your church, it can be any group of people, but that's a very important element of having preparedness so that you can help one another. And you can even stand against bandits if it's necessary, because there are going to be people who want whatever you have, whether it's the possessions or the people. There's always going to be somebody who wants what you have. So keep that in mind. And I think there could be trouble in the world coming up, and part of it could be as a distraction. And just, I guess it was this a week ago or something, there were three of the biggest and best U.S. nuclear submarines that were going together into the Pacific Ocean. It was as if we were going to war. Who would we be going to war with? Could it be China? I can only guess. But it is no small thing to have three of our best nuclear U.S. submarines going to the Pacific Ocean. It's kind of hard to believe. Why would they do that? Wouldn't one be enough? Yes. Wouldn't two be an overkill? Probably, but we have three submarines going into the Pacific Ocean, and we can only guess why. Could it be to take attention away from what's going on in Afghanistan or what's going on with COVID and the objections to it? See, we are all trying to figure this out, and certainly we do not know, but we can be aware. I think one of the things that are a strange kind of indicator is that there is a shortage of containers. You know how China puts all of its trade goods into containers and then puts them on a container ship and sends them to the United States? Well, the U.S. consumer is not buying nearly as much as it used to. So why are the containers all being used? What could another alternative be? And the alternative that I could see is if those containers were being filled with, let's call it supplies. But for who? The easiest answer is if the government or the governments of the world are getting ready for some great big event and they want to have supplies on hand. Oh, and let me say again, this is a speculation. I don't know that. I just look at why we have so many containers that are no longer available. What could it be? And that's an answer that I can come up with. But it's not that I know. I don't. It's just thinking out loud. So there are these things that are going on, more and more surprises in the world as surprises. And that means anything can happen, and it can happen quickly, because that's how surprises happen. Even what's going on in Afghanistan was a surprise. Something happened quickly, and all of a sudden, there it was. Well, whatever is going on, we do want to strengthen our relationship with the Lord of all, Jesus. He is the Christ, the chosen one of God. And that is something that we each have to remember in the midst of whatever is going on, that we want to have a strong relation with Jesus, the Christ. And that's something that we have to realize is the most important, more important than having enough supplies, being hungry, or having food, or even our life. Our relation with Jesus Christ is so important. One is so that we have a relation with what is true and what is good, but also we have the promise of eternal life in that heavenly place. And so we want to be faithful in our relation with Jesus. America has had that tradition of finding the importance of Jesus Christ, and in my opinion, that is what has made America great. It's that we have honored God through Jesus Christ. And now, as things are going on, it's certainly always good to ask God to save and protect us and to heal our people and heal our land. And then we want to turn from any sin that is in our life and turn fully to God through Jesus Christ. Because these are amazing days we are living in, and we are blessed to live here and witness these end time events. So let us pray for wisdom and fortitude to follow Jesus Christ as we live on earth in these days. Let's remember our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as we pray. And remember that you can listen to any of these past broadcasts again by going to www.christtoday.org, all lowercase and no spaces. And you can get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending a stamped self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.